Welcome to He Said, She Said Razor Branding Podcast with Michael Russo and Jackie Russo. To learn more about how to improve your brand, visit brandrusso.com.
Hi, welcome to He Said, She Said, a Razor Branding Podcast with Michael and Jackie Russo. Michael, our guest today, Brandon Leibowitz, I thought that he detailed, specific, our entire conversation around his work with SEO optimizers is what every business needs to hear right now. As the founder and operator of SEO optimizers, he is all about assisting companies with driving more online traffic and getting more clients and really growing their business. And doing that through search engine optimization is tricky, but he has all the tricks of the trade.
He seems to definitely have that. And it's hard knowing who to trust these days with all that. There's so much information out there. And, you know, like I said, we do SEO because we kind of have to. But when it gets too heavy lifting, we have partners that we work with that help us with that. And it is its own science, and it probably should be dealt with accordingly with those people. But it's not just that. It's SEO, it's copywriting, it's content, it's development, it's having a bigger plan, it's in messaging. All those things rolled into it. So it's not like SEO alone. You can have a greatly ranked website that nobody pays attention to, you know, just because it's ranked high doesn't mean it's going to be successful. So there's other elements in there. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I think it's important to think about all aspects, right?
What I agree with is that in the middle of this podcast, you brought up an example of your deep knowledge of SEO by relating it to a Brady Bunch episode. So I feel like the people are going to want to know how you managed to pull that connection together.
Caveat emptor.
Oh my Caveat God! Fire emptor. Beware.
You know. All right. If you're of that age and you watched Brady Bunch growing up, which I did, you know the episode. Tell me, do you know what he was buying? What Daddy Mike told him?
It was a bicycle. I know he was buying a bicycle. Yes. But I think that the most Brady Bunch of all the episodes is, oh no, he broke my nose. That's too obvious.
You need to go caveat emptor or the Tiki episodes in Hawaii. Those were epic.
Tiki's pretty epic, yeah.
Like then they showed the Tiki episode and then who was it? Greg got in a surfing accident, whoever had the totem.
That was some bad luck right there.
I love it.
And so now, welcome to the show, Brandon Leibowitz.
Awesome.
Now, the problem is I've said it twice. I said it at the end of the intro and I said it at the beginning of the thing. So you got to cut one of those.
I'll just leave it in just like that. And we'll just start right now.
Even better. And joining us now, Brandon. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on today.
Well, thanks for being here. So, you know, I think that search engine optimization is quite the buzzword in our industry, and everybody thinks they know what it means. They think they know how it works. They think they know what they're supposed to do with it. But I find that very few people, unless they're specialists like you, really do. So maybe we can just start by laying some groundwork, some foundational information. Tell the people about search engine optimization, what it means and how it works.
Let's back up a little bit. Let's let Brandon, I want to hear who Brandon is. Brandon, tell us a little bit about you and what your background is, and then we'll jump into that.
Yeah, my name is Brandon Leibowitz, and I've been involved with digital marketing since 2007. I got my degree in business marketing, and after I graduated from school, the first job I got out of college was helping a company do their marketing, digital marketing, which I didn't really know much about it back then. They said, don't worry, we don't know much either. So I thought was kind of interesting. They're like, we're going to take you to classes and workshops and seminars and learn alongside with you, and decided to give it a shot. After working there for a few months, just kind of realized back in 2007 that everyone's probably going to have a website in the future. And there's lots of different ways to get traffic, like running Google ads, social media, email marketing, search engine optimization, and it all works to get traffic. But SEO is just a way to get free traffic. And I thought, who doesn't want free traffic? So over the years, I focused more on the SEO side of things, working at different advertising agencies as a director of SEO, and before work and after work and on my lunch breaks, I work on my own company, and eventually built that up to where I was able to quit my job and focus solely on this, and been doing that ever since, just helping people get that traffic to their website.
Nice. And just for the record, Jackie's going to chastise me later because I cut her off in her amazing intro. So. But I'm glad we wanted to
First of all, this is the value of the he said, she said. So I'm going to let that go. But as you recall, Michael, I always pre-record an intro before. So I will have already told Brandon's background, but that's fine. I'm going to redo my intro now to be something different. So I'm not just repeating what he said about himself.
Very good. And what was your question, by the way?
Mine was for him to kind of give us a little setup on search engine optimization, SEO, what is it, how it works? Because some people think they know what it means, but I find that they usually don't.
Yeah, SEO is search engine optimization, which means optimizing websites for the different search engines, which really Google runs the show. So when you're searching on Google or any search engine, there's ads at the top. Those are all paid ads. Right below the ads are the organic, the free listings. And on Google, there's 10 spots on that first page of Google. So what we're trying to do is get you in those free spots so you could capture that free traffic. But when you search on Google, it's not just websites that appear. A lot of people just think it's ranking my website, but images appear, videos appear, maps appear, products appear for e-commerce. So just trying to capture that free real estate on that first page of Google without spending money on paid ads. That's really the main focus for SEO.
Now that Google has gone to the scroll, does that first page still matter as much? Do you find that it's kind of changed the game?
It's still kind of the same. Most people don't really scroll down to the very bottom of page one in the past. So still to this day, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, it keeps on going and going for you. But yeah, most people just kind of click on whatever's on those first spot, second spot, third spot, really get the most traffic.
Well, right. And it seems like nowadays, too, everybody is trying to game the system, right? And they're trying to find tricks and this and that, but they're changing the rules all the time, too, right? I mean, as soon as you start to figure it out, they're like, okay, we're going to change it for whatever reason. I guess it's to keep everybody honest. I mean, do you find that going on where you're constantly having to kind of reevaluate and relearn and really stay on the cutting edge to stay on top of all those changes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Google's constantly changing because people find ways to game the system. Google doesn't want that, and they just want to, and they're just trying to clean up spam. That's the main thing, and just better their search results. So it's always trying to stay up to date with all the latest changes by reading different blogs or watching different videos, listening to podcasts, and just trying to talk to other people and really testing. That's the biggest thing, is trying things out, seeing what works, what doesn't work, and just keep on going from there, because Google's not really going to tell you what they're changing. Sometimes they do, but most of the time they don't really let you know.
Like a secret. So what's the process when you are you're going in to really, well, first of all, how do you assess if someone has their SEO set up properly or not?
There's different, well, best way is looking at analytics, seeing where the traffic's coming from. But sometimes I don't get access to that. So I could look at their backlinks, and a backlink is a clickable link from another website that points to yours. So let's say you're reading an article on the latimes.com, and there it says Brandon Leibowitz. You click on it and it goes to my website. I'd be getting a backlink from the latimes.com. The more websites that have clickable links that point to yours, the more popular or trustworthy Google sees you as, and the higher they're going to rank you. And there's tools that will let me look at any website's backlinks. So I can look at your backlinks, I can look at any website and kind of get an idea. If you don't have any backlinks, then you're definitely not ranking on Google. I've never seen a website rank on Google that doesn't have backlinks. You need backlinks to rank or for Google to trust you. But the more backlinks you have, the more popular, the more trust Google is going to see you as. So I could see how many backlinks you have. And that gives me a good indication of if you have Google trusting you or not, or if you're ranking. But it's not really the number of backlinks anymore that matters, because again, Google changes all the time. In the past, it was if you have 100 backlinks and I have 200, I would rank higher than you because I had more backlinks. But Google realized that people just game the system and are building what are called low quality backlinks. And Google wants quality backlinks. And what is a quality backlink to Google? A quality backlink means it comes from a site that's related to what you're doing. That's really important and has some authority. So the bigger the website, the more popular or the more authoritative it's going to be, that backlink. Like if I gave you a backlink from my website, it's a good website. That's not the same as Huffington Post or Wikipedia or New York Times or Entrepreneur. So the bigger the website, the more SEO value that's passed on, and the more relevant it is to your industry, the better. Like I'm an SEO company. I'm not really going to get other SEO companies to link out to me. We're all somewhat competitors or direct competitors, but I could find another website about business, about entrepreneurship, about marketing, about advertising, anything somewhat related, that's what Google wants to see linking out to me. So that gives me an indication of how much SEO has been done to your website by really looking at these backlinks. And there's paid tools. That's really the only way you could see these backlinks. The more popular ones would be like Moz or SEMrush or Ahrefs. They're like $100, maybe $200 a month. They're a little pricey, but then you can really look at any website's backlinks and see exactly what they've done, how they're getting those rankings, and try to emulate them to see if you could acquire those similar backlinks to get Google to trust you in a similar way.
How much weight goes into, you mentioned authority, and that's what we've been hearing a lot about is, you know, Google's looking for, and I think audiences are looking for authority on subjects, people that, with authoritative voices and thought leaders in that space. How relevant is that, not just in the science behind SEO, but in the actual copy and content?
Well, Google wants to see that you're authoritative, and they have what's called this EEAT part of their algorithm. So it's experience, expertise, authority, and trust. So authority means, like, are you a subject matter expert? Like myself, like Google says, okay, Brandon, does he do SEO? If they see me now on your podcast and they see that I've been a guest on your podcast and other people's podcasts, or that I'm on other people's blogs, that they write about me, that they interview me, that I have my own YouTube channel, I have my own social media that I talk about SEO, then Google's like, okay, maybe he's an authority figure. We still don't trust him, but we think he might be a little bit more authoritative. So getting your name out there on other third-party websites, which really comes back to these backlinks, because that's really what these backlinks are. Backlinks are you getting published on other people's websites. But Google's now just looking at my author name as a kind of a ranking signal, saying that my name's published and attached to articles and blogs and content pieces related to SEO.
You know, I think it's fascinating how many people don't appreciate the need to do this. They build their website once, 5, 10, 15 years ago, and they think it's like a set it and forget it situation. How damaging is that approach to the status of their website ongoing?
Well, it's not the worst if you don't have any competition. So it all comes down to the competitiveness of your keywords. The more competition you have, the more you have to fight for that spot, because there's only 10 spots on that first page of Google. Once you get to that first page of Google, you're pushing someone off that first page of Google. They're not going to be happy about it. And they're going to look at all the SEO that you've done and try to outrank you, which is primarily looking at your backlinks and figuring out who's linking out to you, reaching out to those sites to see if they would link to that competitor or to whoever it is, and trying to outrank you. So it's a back and forth battle keeping those rankings. If you have competition, let's say you're like a restaurant in Los Angeles, there's thousands of restaurants in Los Angeles. There's only 10 spots on that first page of Google. So all those restaurants are really fighting for that spot. So it's going to be hyper-competitive, and you're going to have to do a lot to maintain those rankings. Whereas if you're in some small town where maybe there's only 8 other restaurants, then you don't have to worry too much. I mean, you still want to get to the top. So you want to keep optimizing your website to make sure you stay at the top, but you're not really pushing someone off that first page of Google. So if there's not much competition, there's not much to really maintain. But you do have competition, then you really have to maintain it by building more backlinks to get Google to continuously see that websites are talking about you. Shows Google that you're still in business, that you're still popular, trusted, and authoritative figure, and that's going to keep you up there.
What about with a lot of people, if our clients have brought it up to us at times, like, you know, the importance and relevance of websites in today's social media world, you know, how do you talk about that, you know, as far as the relevance of websites still? Saying, oh, well, you know, I'm going to have all my attention on my social media channel, and that's going to be my main funnel for everything that I'm doing. What is the importance and relevance of websites today and moving forward?
Well, social is just renting space off of this platform. You don't own it. So I would say it's the opposite. You want traffic from social media to go to your website. You don't want people from your website going to social media, because once they're on social media, like, imagine you search on Google, you find my website. And then you see on my website, I'm like, hey, check me out on Facebook. You go to my Facebook page, there's advertisements on Facebook for other people. There's friend requests, there's notifications. It's too easy to get sucked in the algorithm and get lost in there. Whereas if you're on my website, I have full control of it, and I could put whatever messaging I want and really keep you on my website longer. So social is really just renting space off of other websites, and you don't own that stuff either. Like if you put all your eggs on Facebook, or like primarily focused on Facebook, Facebook is still a big website, still very popular, but it's really been on the decline lately. And if all your information is all on Facebook, now you're like, maybe I should jump to Instagram, or should I jump to TikTok, or what's going to be the newer one? So you're going to have to keep adapting and adjusting. And social is good to get people to your website, or to build like social proof. So like once someone comes to my website and they see me and they've been to my website, like, all right, is Brandon real? Is he trustworthy? How can I vouch for him? And that's where social could build that like social proof, showing like other people are like writing reviews and testimonials, and they can see I have status updates, and they can see I'm still in business, and really puts a face behind the company. But I would say you really want to focus more on your website, because social, you don't own any of that stuff, and they can take you down anytime. And the reach is so low nowadays, where in the past it was really good. But nowadays, if you post on Facebook, only 5% of your audience will ever see what you post. So if you have 100 people that like you on Facebook and you post on there, not all those people are going to see your post unless you boost it and spend money advertising. So they're more pay-to-play platforms nowadays, which still works, but you have to really, you don't really get that organic reach anymore for a lot of these platforms, unfortunately.
How much, what role does content play as far as SEO goes? Like video versus still images versus copy versus, you know, does any of that, that rank or move differently the needle?
I mean, Google loves text. They struggle with images and videos. They're getting much, much better at it, but they rely heavily on text. The more text you have on your website, the easier it is for them to read, understand, and know what that page is about. Whereas images, they don't really see the image. I mean, they're getting much, much better at it with AI and stuff like that. But with the images, what they really see is a file name. So whatever you name your image file or your video or a podcast, whatever you're putting out on the internet, you just name it like image.001.jpg. They're not going to be able to read that. But if you name it with descriptive words before you upload it to your website or before you upload to Facebook or YouTube or any of these platforms, that's going to help them better understand what that image or video or that audio or that podcast is. But there's only so much you could put in that file name. You don't want to make it really, really long. So the more text you have supporting all that really helps out.
One of the things that, and just kind of follow up with what Michael was asking about, one of the things that I see is the companies that seem to have a real concerted effort around thought leadership, regularly posting blogs, regularly creating ebooks, regularly putting out videos, they seem to be the ones who organically are earning their way to the top. How do you balance the organic effort to earn your way up with the paid effort to just buy your spot at the top and participate in what feels to me like an auction fight to the death? Where do you look at that? Do you think like it should be 50-50? How do you advise people to approach that?
I mean, I might be a little biased because I focus more on SEO, but sure. I realized over the years that SEO is not really a means to an end. Like SEO gets you traffic, but traffic doesn't result in sales, leads, phone calls, whatever that conversion goal is. It helps, but doesn't always get conversions. And over the years, I realized like business owners, they don't care about traffic. They want their phone ringing. They want people buying off their website. So I like to do what are called remarketing ads, where if you look at a, let's say you go on Amazon, you look at a product and you don't buy it, you'll see those ads follow you around everywhere. Those ads work really well. Whereas like, cause these are warm leads. These are people that have been to your website, but for some reason they got distracted. Maybe they're on their cell phone and they're about to buy that product, and then somebody calls them and then they answer the phone and then they get lost in that conversation and they forgot about your website. But then you follow them around, it keeps you top of mind. And that usually works in getting more conversions. It's more touch points too, to build trust up. So like for myself, like I'm a service-based business. I'm not really selling physical products online, but if someone goes to my website, I offer free classes. So if someone goes to my website and doesn't take a free class, I'm going to follow you around saying, hey, check out my free classes. Then if you do take one of my classes, but you don't sign up for a free consultation, because I do free consultations, then I'll follow you around saying, hey, sign up for a free consultation. Then if you sign up for a consultation, but you don't sign up as a client for mine, then I'll follow you around with ads that show like reviews and testimonials. So it's hitting different touch points and creating different audience segments. And that works really, really well because again, it's warm leads. And most people need a few touch points, well, depending on what they're buying. If they're just buying socks, you don't need to have those multiple touch points. But anything that's higher, more expensive, higher ticket items, you need to have those multiple touch points to build trust. But ads do work. If you're just doing cold ads, they do work. It's just making sure that you're making more than you're putting in. That's the biggest thing, is just, if you're bleeding money out, then you gotta cut them out. But if you're making more than you're putting in, then there's no real need to turn them off. But in the long run, SEO is going to be the better sustainable option, because if you stop spending money on paid ads, you just disappear. Whereas with SEO, you stop doing SEO, you're not going to just disappear. Eventually, like we were talking about earlier, your competition is going to outrank you, but that's going to take them months to do. Whereas the Google ads, you shut them off, you just disappear. So that's where you just got to look at what's called the ROAS, return on ad spend. How much money am I spending on ads and how much money am I making? And as long as you're making more than you're putting in, there's no real reason to turn them off. But the ads do get quite expensive. And some of them can be, whereas when you're searching on Google, it's called pay-per-click, PPC. You're paying for each click. Each click could be a couple cents, which is not bad, but then it could be a couple dollars. Some of them could be $100 for one click to your website. That's where you just got to make sure you're making more than you're putting in.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So when you talk about those retargeting ads or stalker ads, as you just described them, as they follow me around on the internet, does that rely on cookies? And hasn't there been a change lately to how cookies work, or is retargeting separate from that?
No, it has something to do with the cookies. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I know Facebook had a crackdown because of what happened in 2020 or in 2016 too with elections. So they don't give that full discrepancy anymore, or they don't give you full access, but you can still do remarketing on Facebook. It's just you don't get as much data as you used to be able to do, but Google, still you can do a lot with it. I'm sure it's going to change. It's always constantly changing, but right now you can still be pretty effective. Like if you go to my website, you'll see, if anyone goes to my website, SEOoptimizers.com, and you don't take my class, you'll see my classes will follow around. Then if you do take my class, you'll see that my reviews follow around. So you can see it still works. It's just you don't get as much information as you used to be able to get. Unfortunately, they're kind of closing that off. But for the time being, it still works very, very well. And it's very cost effective with remarketing. Normal ads, like I was saying earlier, could be very expensive. Remarketing ads are really, really cheap. And the biggest thing is, like, a lot of them will be like banner ads. So most people don't click on those banner ads, but they see you. So it keeps you top of mind. If they do click on it, those clicks could be like $10 a click. But you have to think, how often do you click on a banner ad? Most people don't click on them, but you see it. So it's like, there's just brand awareness and gets your name out there. You could also do remarketing on YouTube, which Google owns YouTube. And the nice thing about YouTube is you get 30 seconds free ad space. So if somebody watches your YouTube video ad for 29 seconds, then skips it, you don't pay a penny. After 30 seconds, then it's like 10 cents a view. It's really, really cheap. So really cost effective to run these remarketing ads versus the cold outreach.
That's awesome. Two questions on that. Well, actually three things. One, you know, Christina, our PR director who sets up our podcast interviews, sent me the link so that I would have the information to record the introduction that Michael completely ignored earlier. And she messaged me about an hour ago and said, he's stalking me. So apparently after she sent the link to me, she then started getting your retargeting ads. So you've been following her around on the internet all day. My second question with regards to that is it Apple that has threatened to completely remove all of the tracking information, and that's going to kind of throw off the mobile ability for retargeting?
Yeah, that's what they've been talking about. Same with like Facebook, they've been limiting it, but it's still really big because a lot of people still go on the computer, desktop,
or
tablets, things like that. But yeah, it's Apple just wants to keep everyone on Apple. They don't want you to leave. But I'm sure if you go on a website like on Chrome, I'm not sure how it all works exactly. So not sure how it works, but I'm sure if you go on your iPhone and you look at like a website, I'm sure those banner ads might still follow you around. I don't know how it all works with Apple, with what they're doing, because you can still browse the internet and they can't really block the internet from you or block you from being able to access those websites. Like if you go on the LA Times, you'll see my ad there, or Fox or CNN. It doesn't matter where you go. If you go on any website that has banner ads, you'll see my banner ads following you around. So I'm not sure how they could suppress those off those third-party sites.
Right. Last but not least, a couple of weeks ago, a former client of ours who took everything in-house. They're small, very small. We've continued to grow. And so they're not really a target client for us anymore. They reached out to me and said, you know, I know that what we need is kind of really little, but do you have somebody to recommend? And we have a list of preferred vendors that we refer to all the time, but I wanted to kind of update that list, see if maybe there's some new talent out there that I wasn't aware of. So I put a message on Facebook to say, hey, who do you all use for this? Who do you recommend? Brandon, explain this to me. I would tell you 30, maybe 40 different people emailed and texted me in 24 hours after I posted this on my Facebook page saying, saw that you're looking for an SEO expert. Here's the information. None of those people follow me on Facebook. How did that happen?
They probably just have these scraper bots that look for keywords. And if they see that you mentioned a keyword on there, like SEO, they're probably going to reach out to you, I think, but I'm not sure, because if it's on your personal, like personal page versus a business page, yes. If it's on a business page, then
personal
it's probably-
page. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm public, but it was my personal page. I was fascinated. So I might just reach out to all of them. I'm so don't want to engage with people I'm not going to do business with, because that feels like wasting time, but I'm fascinated to know how they did it.
Yeah, that one is a little interesting. They're probably looking around, maybe you're in groups and someone shared it in a group saying, this person's looking for an SEO specialist. And then you're going to get all the people from the groups that are messaging you saying like, hey, I saw that you're looking for help with SEO, or that probably is what happened, I would think.
Yeah, it was interesting to me. I thought that's just crazy town.
I have a question. Yeah. Whenever, let's say I am, you know, a B2B business, I'm working regionally or even nationally. I have a niche market where I'm dealing with, you know, maybe I have 10 big competitors, maybe even smaller, but I'm doing big business. And I go to my SEO and I start looking around and I realize that all the keywords are the same. I mean, everything is like, you know, the name of the company, the what I do, the service lines, they rank really high. They're all very, very just expensive to even try to own. And what's the next play? You know, when you look at that and you say, okay, I can't battle here. There's no win. I mean, I can circumvent it. I can start putting geography into the keywords and I could start kind of really trying to trim them down, but I'm never going to own the bulk of what people are typing and looking for. So what's next?
That's where you got to do topical relevancy and create content on your website about that keyword. So blogging is very important. And if you create lots of blogs about that topic, let's say, for example, someone's selling like an auto mechanic and they're fixing cars and you want to rank for like auto body shop or mechanic, which everyone's probably putting the same keywords in there. But then you have 10 blog posts about how to change your engine or about like engine repairs. Then Google says, okay, you're topically an expert about engines. Or then you have another 10 blog posts that are all about like changing your car tires. And then Google's like, okay, you must be topically relevant to car changing your tires and how to change car tires, things like that. You have to interlink them all together. And it becomes like a wheel, kind of like all these interlinking blog post pages that all link back to your main service page. So it's giving that subject matter expertise kind of area of Google now sees that you don't just have a page about the service, but you have 15 other pages about that topic that all link back to that service page. And then the backlinks. Backlinks are the most important part of that too. Building those backlinks to build trust up, to let Google know that third-party sites are talking about you. Those are the ways to differentiate yourself, just having having more text on your page. So if everyone has 500 words of text on their page, I would write 700 words of text. So you're writing a little bit more content than everyone else is, trying to write better content than everyone else is, and that will help differentiate yourself. But yeah, a lot of people will target the same keywords. Like if you're a restaurant and like selling Italian food, how many keywords can you really use? Italian restaurant, Italian food, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So after a while, it's like, all right, what can I use to differentiate myself? And that's where more content, more text on that page, having more blogs about that topic, that link to that, link back to that main page, and then getting third-party sites to link out to you.
I think I totally get that. I think it's hard sometimes, like we, you know, from a copy perspective, and I do a lot of the writing, you know, it's like we want to shorten the copy. People's attention spans aren't that long. They don't want to read a 700 page blog post. They want, you know, so there's somebody else saying, shorten it, you know, crisp it up, make, get it to the point, you know, headlines, quick, you know, reads, that kind of thing. Attention span of in today's world, the TikTok generation, right? Nobody wants to sit there and some people do, but a lot don't. So how do you battle that when you're telling me I need more content, somebody's saying shorten the content? It's like, as a creator, I'm like, what do I do?
It's kind of like this issue I've always had with web developers. Like, they're building a website, they want to put 1,000 words of text on each page because it's going to make it aesthetically ugly. But for SEO, you need to do that to make Google happy. So it's that balance of trying to figure out, all right, how can I add this text without making the website look ugly? And that's where I would say put the text at the very bottom of your website. So whatever you see on the screen, we're looking at a website right now, it's called above the fold. Most people don't even scroll down on the website. So whatever they see above the fold, that's where you have to have all your pertinent information, like the value proposition, what's in it for me, maybe have a couple bullet points, a video up there, and your call to action. And then lower down, you'd have more information. And then at the very bottom, you could put that big block of text. But I would try to break it up into sections because it doesn't have to just be 1,000 words all in one spot. You could break it up into multiple areas. But I would say throw it lower on the page where most people don't go. But Google reads from top to bottom. So Google will see it. Most people won't see it because most people, like you're saying, attention spans are so short, but it's crazy. But most people don't even scroll down on the website or won't swipe on the website down. So make the top of it above the fold, really optimize for people, make it look clean, easy to navigate. Like you're saying, less is better. But for SEO, lower down will make Google happy. So getting that balance.
Mm-hmm. What about, like, I know we're kind of getting towards the end here, but like, what is the recommendations you have for, like Jackie said, she got hit up by SEO companies and they're everywhere, it seems. And everybody seems to be an expert these days and everybody seems to have their own. I have the answer. And a lot of people do. And I've also found a lot of people that don't. And I could tell by what they're talking about. I'm like, you know, as much as I do right now, you're guessing, you know, you're because I think a lot of it is somewhat guesswork unless you're really in the weeds and you understand these algorithms and the way to process and you're staying up to the curve. When you're looking for somebody to help you with that stuff, because I think we can all do a little bit on our own, but there is a wall where it's like, okay, if I want to take the next step, I got to go pay for this paid SEO. I got to really get into the weeds on this stuff. What are your recommendations for that? And looking for, how do you sniff out the imposters? You know,
I would probably look at their website and see, are they ranking for any keywords? I mean, a lot of people neglect their website, like I did for a long time, just because you get focused on other people, your clients, and don't have time to focus, build or work on your own SEO. But I'll look at their website, see what they've done to their own website. Are they, if you know what to look for, like, are they putting like a title tag or meta description, some like really basic stuff in there, or looking at their backlinks? Again, you have to know a little bit of SEO to do this stuff. But if you look at their backlinks using some of these paid tools and you see that all their backlinks are coming from like foreign countries and other languages, and they're coming from like gambling and pharmaceutical sites, probably say, all right, stay far away from them. But if you see that they have a lot of websites that are linking out to them. So if it's an SEO company, they have a lot of websites about marketing and advertising and business and entrepreneurship, then I'd say they probably know what they're doing a little bit more than other people. But it is kind of tough because you have to know a little bit of SEO to be able to see is someone else doing good SEO, but looking at the reviews, testimonials, things like that, seeing how long they've been in business and really looking at their track record, looking at other websites that they've helped out, seeing if they've got a lift in traffic, and that's going to give you a better indication.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when SEO started coming online, all the writers started trying to jam all these keywords into their copy and it just sounded horrible. And you could tell right away, it was like, okay, you're trying to beat something. And that was cart before the horse, you know, it was obviously that's not going to work long-term for marketing. And eventually that kind of weeded out, thank God. And I think there is an art to it, especially in the writing side. How do you integrate those things into there and make it still have a flow and still make sense? But you have to have the stuff going in before you even start that process. I mean, what are the keywords? Who am I talking to? All the basics that we talk about in our process, which is, you know, the who, the what, the when, and the where. You know, if you don't know those things, you're going to end up guessing at things, and that's never going to end up well.
No, don't guess, because all the data, all that stuff is out there if you just know where to look and how to look in the right places. But if you're just guessing, then, I mean, you might be right sometimes, but in the long run, it's probably going to do more harm than good. So just slow it all down, take your time, and yeah, don't do anything that seems too good to be true, where it's like, oh, if I add 100 keywords in here in font size 0.001 and my website has a white background and I use white font, you might get a lift for a couple of days or a week or two, but eventually Google is going to catch on and see it and penalize you. So instead of ranking you higher, you're going to drop down, which is the last thing we want to happen.
And it's never ending, right? I'm sorry, Jackie, but it's never ending. There's no set and forget, right? It's always, you have to maintain the stuff. You have to stay on top of it. You have to constantly put time in, right?
Yep. You're constantly looking at your competition, trying to figure out what they've done, what are they doing? What strategies are they doing? Trying to stay up to date with Google, trying to figure out what Google's going to be looking for in the future, and just trying to follow the best practices. You can read Google Webmaster Guidelines. They'll tell you what they're looking for, but it is Google telling you what they're looking for. You got to take everything with a grain of salt because they don't want you to do SEO. They want you to do paid ads because that's how they make all their money. But they'll give you little hints and things like that.
I've never had Michael talk so much in one podcast interview before. So I hate to interject and like throw him off. It's so exciting to have him so engaged, but I did just have a question. Brandon, if you look back over the work that you've done over the years, what's one thing where you feel like it was a home run, nailed it, grand slam, hit it out of the park, like a big win? Tell us one of those kind of stories where you felt like you really solved a problem for somebody.
Yeah, there are a lot, but one client that I'm working with right now, been working with them for a few years, is, well, they sell automobile or they lease exotic cars, and they had a good website, looked really nice. It was really pretty, really aesthetically pleasing, but Google couldn't read it because the way that it was built, it was just built in a way that Google wasn't able to read the website. And this website has been around for like 25 years. So they've had a long history of building trust up. Google looks at how old your website is. That's a big factor too, like a brand new website versus website that's been around for 15, 20 years, the older one's going to get more trust to it. But, and they had a lot of backlinks, but they weren't getting rankings. And they were just like, what's going on? And by really going in and fixing their website layout, putting keywords in basic places that Google wanted to see keywords, they pretty much just shot up to that first page of Google within like 2 months, 3 months of working together, got them to the very top of Google, to the first position for most of their keywords within like 4 months, 5 months, which usually take some time. Like Google's not instantaneous, but if you have an old website that's been around for a long time and have a lot of trust built up to it, but the keywords aren't there and Google's not able to read it, they're not going to be able to rank you. So making those little changes got them up there really, really quickly. It's kind of a rarity. Usually it's the opposite. Usually it's a new website that has keywords all over it, but they don't have any backlinks. But this website had a ton of backlinks, ton of credibility, ton of trust built up. It's just Google couldn't read their website. So fixing that really got them to the top really fast. And they've been there and still to this day, still rank for a lot of their keywords. It's now just trying to open them up for new keywords. So they sell or lease exotic cars. They have a lot of cars on their website. I focused on a few manufacturers and models, but now we're like, all right, let's focus on all of them because the main bread and butter is now ranking. Let's focus on these other ones. And they've just seen their traffic skyrocket. They're getting so many more people reaching out to them and contacting them. So they're very happy about that. But usually that's a rarity. Usually it's those backlinks that are missing. And that takes a lot more time to build those backlinks up to get Google to trust you, because Google just looks at every website and says, all right, you see all these keywords on your website, but how do we know that you are who you say you are? Because too many people have tricked us over the years and thrown keywords on our website or on your website, and we don't believe you. So you have to build that trust up. And the trust does take 6 months on average, if not longer, depending on how competitive those keywords are. It could take a year or two, unfortunately, to get Google to really trust you.
How many, so when you think about the keywords, you know, those words and phrases, what do you feel like is the optimum number to be trying to optimize for? Or are you trying to do 3, 5, max at 10? Kind of what number do you think is the sweet spot of just enough, but not too much?
Well, you want to rank for as many keywords as possible, but each keyword that you're trying to target needs backlinks to rank for it. So that's where if you're trying to rank for 100 keywords, then you're going to have to build a lot of backlinks. Whereas if you just focus on like 3 or 5 keywords, like you said, like really hyper-focus on those, then you build all these backlinks that relate to those keywords, then that's going to move the needle much, much quicker versus diluting in, trying to have 1/100th of the optimizations because now you're focused on 100 keywords, whereas that just splits up your time because it really does come down to those backlinks. You need to build backlinks targeting those keywords, and each backlink can only target one set of keywords. So the more keywords you're targeting, the more it's going to dilute that effect and just slow things down.
How much the weight, like, you know, you're talking a lot about backlinks. So I just went in and typed in. So that's what most people do, right? I'm going to go figure out, well, how do I do backlinks? And one of the first sites that came up, I won't mention names, but they say, looking for high quality links, building service, then you can't refuse ours. So get high DA backlinks to enhance your domain authority and website rankings. Get backlinks placed on relevant websites. 100% do follow backlinks. Permanent high quality SEO. Like, is that something that is legit and real? Or are they kind of, again, gaming the system? Is that not organic? And is that going to end up hurting you? Like, do those type of services work? Is that something that somebody should follow and participate in?
It just depends what they're doing with the back or how they're building the backlinks. Like, I offer backlinks, and I'm not going to say here, just buy backlinks individually, like these websites are doing, which usually means they're doing what's called a PBN, private blog network. So Google or people realize Google wants to see backlinks. How about I just buy 100 domains, build 100 websites, and then I link out to myself from all 100 websites. Uh-huh. Now I have 100 backlinks. But they're not real websites. They're just blogs that look real, but they're not really real websites. And they used to work really well a few years ago. Google's been cracking down on those. So that's where you just have to figure out, how are they building these backlinks? Are they really going to be published on real websites, or are they just going to be published on websites that look real, but they're not real websites? And it's kind of tough for people to differentiate unless you know SEO. And if you go in and look at a website, it just has a bunch of blogs on all these different topics, probably a PBN, private blog network. If there's no phone number, no email address on these websites, then it's probably a fake website. It looks real, and it's just there to game the system. And it might work temporarily, but nowadays Google's been catching on. And Google, you have to think, has an endless budget. So they're probably going into all these websites, all these ones that you see that are selling backlinks, buying these backlinks, and then penalizing these websites, saying, all right, we see that you're selling backlinks on, here's your private blog network. We see that you have 100 websites that you're selling backlinks from. Let's penalize all these websites so they don't count for SEO as much. Like, you could go on Fiverr and buy a gig for 1,000 backlinks for $5, but those backlinks are all going to be low quality and spammy type of backlinks.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Kind of scary. I picked the LA Times backlink over Michael's buy a backlink for $1 example. Dude, you're bringing the whole level of this conversation down with your crazy online shenanigans.
Well, but that's the whole point, is that there's a lot of things out there that you have to be aware of, because everybody, you know, has jumped on the bandwagon to some degree. Not everybody, but a lot of people, especially in the
everybody.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, I have the next best thing, or this is how you do this, or this is how I did this. And, you know, like, as soon as you get success, you become the expert. Now you want to tell everybody and sell how you did it, right? That seems to be a big, no one's really talking about that, but that seems to be a whole, like, new revenue source for people, like a new business model. Like, you know, I become viral, or I get successful, now I'm going to become the authoritative expert and tell you how I did it. But the reality is, they may have been just lucky. They may have been the right place at the right time. And so to say, follow what I did, people follow it and they pay to learn how to follow it, and they never get more than what they're at, you know? So it's, you know, kind of like the people in the real estate that used to come on there and, you know, hey, so I got rich. I bought all these homes and I mortgaged this and I did that. And they're telling you how to get rich scheme. Right. And it that's flown into the internet now, the internet world, and to where in the social media world where, well, I did it, this is how you can do it too. And that seems to be everywhere right now. And it's just pipe dream in a lot of cases, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. They might have gone lucky, like you said, or they might not even know how it worked, how they got up there. But right time, right place, low competition, getting in early, gets them that traffic, gets them to go viral. And then they could try to pitch it to other people saying, hey, I've done it, I could teach you how to do it. But they might not really know what happened. And they're just like, I think this is what did it. And it might have worked 5 years ago, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work today.
Yeah. I just looked it up because I wasn't sure exactly what it was, but it reminded me of a Brady Bunch episode when I was a kid, when Mike, Bobby gets his bike fixed. We bought a bike for somebody and ended up being faulty. And he says, caveat emptor. That's Latin, Bobby, for let the buyer beware. And, you know, it just...
Yeah, you gotta be careful. A lot
of this is why Michael doesn't talk in most podcasts. What is happening right now? You have derailed our train.
No, you're
and
looking
you're amused with yourself.
I thought Brandon, it was funny.
On behalf of everyone at Team Russo, I just have to apologize for Michael and his ridiculous shenanigans today.
Brandon, do you watch the Brady Bunch when you were younger? It's probably younger than you. You're too young for that.
Seen a few episodes. So.
All right. Anyway, it's a good episode. It's a classic. I recommend checking it out.
I'll have to check it out. No, it was a good show.
I'm just going to assume that Michael was drinking at lunch and move on with this. Brandon,
not.
One of the things that we often face against, you know, is a well-respected, well-established agency, but there's always somebody who bought a Mac laptop and has a Canva account and declares themselves an agency. I think it's frustrating in our business, and it really is, to Michael's point, buyer beware. The emphasis falls on the client to try to figure out who are the legitimate agencies, who does bona fide work, and who's just going to take their money and not get any return on investment. But I think the challenges that we have in our space are nothing compared to the challenges that you have in your space. It feels like anybody and their brother is just going to declare themselves an SEO expert, and the clients don't have enough knowledge and experience around that topic to know when they are being sold a bag of goods. What do you do? How do you help people make smart decisions on who to partner with in the SEO world?
That one, I just try to show them my track record, like websites I've worked on, show them reviews that go back to early 2000 so they could see I've been around for a while. I'm not just some fly-by-night company that's going to come and take their money and run off, and they could see I've a lot of good reviews. I don't really have any bad reviews. So that builds up that trust over the years, because if someone is like, what, like you said, they just create a little quick website, throw it up there. And eventually, if they're not doing a good job, people are going to write reviews about it. It's going to hurt that brand image. And they're probably going to have to rebrand themselves and keep switching it up all the time. And you see it's just a brand new website with reviews that are just from like a few months ago, then I'd be like, all right, maybe they're not, they might be good, but there's no real trust that you're building up. So like for myself, I have to build trust with Google to get Google to rank me. I also have to build trust for people to want to trust me and use my services. But it's kind of true for any website. Once people get to your website, how do they know that you really are trustworthy, legitimate, and credible? And that's where you hope that when you're searching on Google, Google is going to rank websites that are trustworthy and credible. That's why it takes so much time for Google to want to rank a website, because they don't want to rank a website and then find out that this website used to be a dental website. They were a dentist. And they rank for all these dentist-related keywords. And then after 6 months, once they got to that first page of Google, they flipped from being a dentist to selling pharmaceuticals or being a pornography website, which happens all the time. That's why Google has to really scrutinize every website with those backlinks, because they don't want this bait and switch tactics, which we don't really see it happen too often, but it does happen way too frequently than we would ever guess. Like Google's kicked off over half the websites off the internet or off their search engine.
Well, Brandon, tell everybody if they're interested in learning more from you, how they can find you.
So anyone that wants to learn more, I create a special gift for them. If they go to my website at seooptimizers.com, that's SEOOPTIMIZERS.com/gift. They can find that gift there along with my contact information and a bunch of classes I've done over the years. I've thrown up for free so they could see step-by-step how to do a lot of stuff that we talked about. And also if they want to free website analysis, I'm happy to check out their website from an SEO point of view, and they could book some time on my calendar there for free as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Brandon. This was great. I think we all learned a little bit more, a little bit smarter than we were when we started. So that's a good thing.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on
for
today.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brandon. That was great though. Really. Thank you so much. Awesome.
Brandon, we've done 300 and something of these things. I've never seen Michael so engaged. So thank you for bringing him out of the shell and getting him to talk.
Stop it.
Nice.
It is a topic that I think it's right on the cusp of people's knowledge, you know, and it's really hard to, because it is changing all the time and it is overwhelming at times. And I think people try to do it on their own and they get so far and they're like, how come am I in this? Well, don't you have keywords? I'm like, well, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's going to just, there's so much more that goes into it. I think people need to be educated on those things in order to keep up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm glad this is helpful and hopefully it resonates with your audience well as well.
It will. It definitely will. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you again for your time. We do appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good one.